Yep. Okay, this is Winfrey, and welcome to our Monday night conference call, simulcast on our telephone line and on BBS radio. And we have a number of people on the line tonight. Let's see how many we have.
There are 8 participants in the conference.
Well, not that many. 8, huh? That went out on the air, I think. Get it? So, Wayne, who's on the line tonight?
Besides myself, it's Marianne, Maya, Robert, Kathy, Harry, and I don't have the other name.
Anyone else like to identify themselves?
Anna.
Hi, Anna. And anyone else?
Yes, Suzanne's here.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Okay. Well, we're on the air. You guys are on the air. And we're having a simulcast on BBS Radio. And let me mute everybody.
All callers are muted.
Okay. Is Terry here also? Hello, Terry?
No, Terry's not that I know of.
Not here yet? Okay, she said she was going to be on. Okay, just to explain to you all who are listening on BBS, these calls have been going on for a couple years now, at least, and they started out as an experiment, and they're continuing to be an experiment, and the fact that you're listening makes you part of the experiment. So, let me share with you, kind of, what that experiment is, and so that you can notice in your own laboratory, while the call is going on, if something happens for you, if you notice something. And I'll kind of give you an idea of what to look for so that you have more chance of seeing it, okay? So, as many of you know, and probably all of you know, I am the author of the book. I call myself the principal author. David and I decided that that should be my title with relationship to the book, because even though he's a partner in the book, he didn't really want the book to come out. He wasn't anxious for it to come out. He was scared of it, and it was mostly my idea and my writing in the book, and then about half of the book is David's channelings, and 2 chapters of the book are actually David's scientific work. And the reason David did scientific work is that his channeled voice that was giving him messages was telling him something that was so far out that he didn't know how to put it into the world. And when he did, people mocked him. He wasn't taken seriously. They thought he had a big ego. He was trying to be Edgar Casey. And so he found out that when he put his scientific work out, that it was far easier, it was far less controversial, and it was a way to get an edge into the world so that people would pay attention. And then he would have his channeled materials on his website, so the people that looked could find it. So when I first discovered David, I became a student of his channelings. And I was more interested in his channelings than I was in his scientific work, because it didn't take me very long to be thoroughly convinced that he was Edgar Casey. And once I knew he was Edgar Casey, then I knew that I should take his channelings very seriously. And as I studied his channelings, as seriously as I approached it, it still kind of totally blew my mind, because I was realizing who this voice was that was speaking through him. And it was just hard to believe. It was like I was in a science fiction movie, and I was learning about the big picture of things in the universe in a way that I had never heard anybody describe these things. And I'm just this little guy working with this, I would say, somewhat fearful young 28-year-old man. And I was like, I stepped off a cliff and I was in free fall and I couldn't believe what I was discovering. And I actually didn't quite believe it. In fact, I'm not even sure right now that I believe it. You're probably not going to believe it, but you're not going to disbelieve it either. That's the thing, because there's too much evidence here indicating that there's something happening on this order. But it's going to have to go through the filter of your conscious mind. It's not something you're going to hear the first time and say, wow, I believe that. You can't do that. So when I say things, I'm not expecting you to believe it. You know, I'm addressing this call right now because, you know, we've been developing that mail list, that email list, and I put an invitation out to the people that have joined that list this afternoon, and I assume some of them might be listening on BBS. So most of the people on that list joined that list because they came in through a link on Google that said Edgar Cayce. So I want to kind of start out in a way that includes those people so that they can feel in the groove here. Now, the people that have been on the conference call for the last few years know all this frontwards and backwards, and they know the story of what happened to me. And one of the things about all of this is that what's happening is happening in full view of everyone that pays attention. There's no secrets here. If you start listening to our calls and reading the materials, you will know it's really happening. I know when I was young, when I would read things that were far out, I would say, I wonder if that's really true. I wonder what the guy's angle is. And, well, you know, you'll see that all the time on the Internet. He's doing this to sell books or that. So what we're doing here is kind of in full view of you who are listening. And it's in view on an ongoing basis, actually, 7 nights a week. So if you choose to take your microscope out and analyze it, you have 7 nights a week to really scrutinize it, to help you come to your conclusion if we're on the right track. Because if we are on the right track, then this is really important for you. And you're going to want to scrutinize it because you're not going to believe me when I tell you. Again, you're going to believe my voice. I don't sound like I'm hyping you. I don't sound insincere. But nonetheless, the information is of such a nature and so outside of this reality that it takes a period of incubation and integration for this information to go from your eardrums to your brain and to say, you know what, I think it might be real. So I'm not pushing your river. I'm just asking you to be open-minded and to listen. And as much as you are drawn, we are putting it out there. Because what David Wilcox's source was explaining is how evolution works on a cosmic level. And we here on Earth are not privy to that understanding. We are in a veil. We don't know what's going on. And we have so much input and so many people and so many philosophies and so many religions and so many spiritual movements. And for somebody that's looking for something, then they have a potpourri of things to draw on, and they have no idea why to believe something and why not to. Now, in the case that we're going to be presenting, there's a whole bunch of physical evidence indicating that we might have the right story. And if you pay attention to it long enough, you'll become aware of that, particularly if you read the book. One of the reasons it's important to read the book is that it goes into great detail in all the evidence backing this up. And because the information is so out of this realm, so controversial, that if you don't read the book, one could say that everyone has a level of doubt. And what's your doubt meter today? Maybe if you first checked on the line, your doubt meter, and you never just happened to stumble across me, and you were tuning across BBS, and I wonder who this Winfrey is. I would say your level of doubt should be like 95%. And it should be. It should be 95%, because you have to learn to trust me. Now, let's suppose you're on my email list, and you are getting the message days, and you're up to number 10. Maybe your level of doubt is 60%, okay? Still over 50%. You're checking it out, but you're at a level of doubt. Now, I would say for the people that have really paid attention and studied this material inside and out and have observed what's gone on with their own eyes and ears for 2 years or 3 years, watching me, watching the channelings, hearing loads of live channelings on the phone, I would say their level of doubt might be 10%, maybe even less for some of them. And it's okay to have a level of doubt, because that's your filter. How do you know something's real? How do you know it's positive? It's got to get through your filter. So in this particular case, I welcome your doubt, and I welcome your scrutiny, and I have the confidence that if you keep paying attention, that there will be enough evidence presented that you'll say, I think that guy is right on. But I'm not going to expect that to happen on this show tonight. This is basically, we've got two groups of people on the show, the people that are on the conference line and the people that are listening for the first time. And I don't know how many of you there are, but I know there's some, and I want to make sure you feel included. So to give you a quick thumbnail here, and another thing, by the way, that will help get through doubt is to come to my workshop, where I can spend 2 or 3 hours going into extensive stories of everything, having the people involved that were involved in those stories backing it up, hearing their voices, so that you know it really happened. You know there's no exaggeration, because that's part of your filter, and it's part of what I cover in a workshop. So, there's the story linking David Wilcock to Edgar Cayce. And then there's the story that Wilcock is explaining about how the greater universe works, and that the way evolution works at a cosmic scale is that we all exist eternally. We all exist in a matrix. We all exist in a human body right now. And so right now, while you're in your body, you're also in your matrix, except you can't see your matrix. Your matrix is like your hard drive, and your body is like your computer screen. And what happens is, from lifetime to lifetime, you throw away the computer screen and you get a new one, but the hard drive stays the same, and then it has to reboot. And then you have all these programs in your hard drive, various talents, dispositions, whatever, and you, in your conscious self, are going to decide which programs you're going to draw on, bring them up into your monitor, and that's going to be your life. And then you're going to meet other people who have hard drives, and it's very similar, it's very interesting, because it's similar to the Internet. Then the people that you meet and involve yourself with, you can hook your hard drives together, and then they have their programs, and some of their programs are different than your programs, and some of them are the same, and then you develop your life in that particular life based on the people you meet and the common programs that you both can run. That's how life works. And you go through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, and they're saying thousands of lifetimes. And if you get lucky, and if you actually grow, and I'm not going to explain what grow means, but that's explained in the book very well, you graduate from this realm. You graduate, and you no longer are required to go through physical embodiments. And when you graduate, there's apparently worlds upon worlds of choices that you can go to. And one of the highest is that there is a group, what calls themselves a group soul or a social memory complex, and they are a destination for graduates of this realm, and they work as a team. They're like billions of individual souls operating as a team, and then they communicate to populations and planets who are at lower levels, trying to help them go through their evolution. Because without some help from these other realms, we're lost down here. We can't figure any of this out. So it's through the interaction between their realm and ours that people get the idea of how it works. And then somebody like me goes out and talks about it. And then it becomes, over time, becomes very popular. Because you know what? There's truth in it. And like I said, you may have doubt, but if you look at this long enough, your doubt will go away, and you'll know it's real. But you have to do that at your own speed. So now, this group soul, there's this idea that the whole we're all one. We're all one. But what does being all one mean? Well, most of you probably have the experience of what it's like to be one with someone when you're making love. That's a good experience. If you're doing it right and there's some love and care, then you feel one with another human being. Some of you have sat in a room and felt one with everybody in the room. And that's a good experience. And when you walk out, you usually feel uplifted. It could have been a lecture. It could have been a movie. It could have been a musical concert. But when everyone is focused on a common point, the movie or the concert or whatever, then what happens is they merge with the consciousness of the common point, most of them who are able to do that. And so if it's something where the speaker has some wisdom, a Wayne Dyer or Krishnamurti or other, they're exuding a high place of their own in the matrix, then everybody watching, listening, will move into that place, and they'll move into a state of oneness. And when they leave that room, they might look at each other and they feel this state of love with each other. People go to spiritual gatherings. Some of you might have gone to a spiritual gathering and you left and you could feel one with everyone in the room. Well, that's an example of expanding your matrix into oneness with other people. And maybe you didn't call it that. Maybe you had another name for it, like, hey, that was really a good lecture, man, or a good movie. But, you know, to prove the point of that, I would say let's go for a good movie, a really inspiring movie. I will tell you that if you watch that movie in a movie theater where there's a bunch of other people, you will have a different experience than if you watch it on your DVD at home by yourself. A really different experience. Because, you know what, when you're in the movie theater, you're not just watching the movie, but you are creating, participating in a group consciousness creation with everyone in that theater. And when you do that, the experience is far more uplifting than being by yourself. Same thing goes for a speaker, like a Wayne Dyer or somebody that's inspiring. If you're in a room with a bunch of people, or Tony Robbins, can you imagine somebody watching a Tony Robbins video and saying, God, at home? No, it won't happen. You can only feel that because you're in a room with other people and sharing the energies, which means there's oneness being developed. So really, what happens in our lives, although our physical bodies are fixed, we are in a constant state of movement with our relationship in the matrix. And we are recreating our space in the universe. And let's just say that our space in the universe can be as big or as small as you create it. Now, everyone might want to say, I want to have a big space in the universe. And when you say that, oftentimes that means you want to grow that's an indication to want to grow. And when you want to grow, there's a reason why your space was small, and you're going to create a certain kind of catharsis in your own being, in your own life. Because to have a big, if you truly want a big space, things have got to change in your small space. Like, you may have to give up a relationship. You may have patterns of pain from past lifetimes that have to surface, that are agonizing when they surface. There are many things that come up when you make the decision to have a big space, bigger space in the universe. Just like to truly love another person, even in a romantic way, there's huge amounts of things that come up that have to surface for you to be able to do that. And if you can't do that, you won't have the experience of real love. You'll have experience of a lower form of companionship or camaraderie or security or somebody that's there for you for sex whenever you want it, but you won't have communion, you won't have oneness. And so what we're doing on these calls and what we're learning is how to create oneness. Now, the unusual thing that I've learned is that, now it's easy to go to a movie theater and create, you know, watch a movie and everyone's one. Everyone's had that experience. And I remember when I was young, I used to go to the movies and see Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. And man, I would walk around for the next 5 hours feeling exactly like Jerry Lewis. I was just goofy for a few hours. And I mean, I totally merged with the character he was doing. Well, now we have this idea of these group souls that are not in this dimension. And what happened to me is while I was writing the book, and I kept thinking, can this be true? I had a new friend, a personal relationship that I met 2 years into the book who spontaneously started the channel. And you can read the story on the website, conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. And I was able to, this voice that came through her just said, ask us questions. And I was able to ask any question I could think of. And the first question I asked, one of the early ones, was, how do I know she's not crazy and making this up? Can you guys predict a newspaper headline? And then they predicted a newspaper headline, and they said when it would happen. And 2 weeks later, I was scanning the paper like mad, and I found the newspaper headline. So I said, okay, she's not crazy. This is real. And then they gave me permission. They said, ask us questions. And so I started asking questions about everything. I asked questions about my personal problems, about her personal problems. But most of all, I asked questions about the book I was writing and all this idea about this group soul and how they were like the end point of evolution. And this voice coming through my girlfriend was confirming everything that I was writing in the book. Exactly, and she didn't know the answers. And I started to, like, think that either I had it right or there was a disinformation group on the other side trying to lead me astray through both David Wilcock and Daphne. So this was part of my experience for 6 months, having this opportunity to ask questions. And at one point, I asked this voice, I got a call from my brother-in-law, and they said my sister was going to die. She was expected to go into an operation, and they didn't think she would make it. So I asked this voice if they could help, and they said they would. And she survived the operation, and I thought it was coincidence, and 3 weeks later, I find out that she went in for tests. And by the way, she did not know that I asked these questions. There was no chance of suggestion. She went in for tests, and found out that not only was her cancer gone, but her lupus was gone. And the nurse kept insisting that there's something wrong because lupus doesn't disappear, and they kept testing her, and her lupus was gone. So now I have two very specific pieces of evidence. One is predicting a newspaper headline, and next is a miracle for my sister. And I asked them, I said, how did you do that? How did you get rid of her lupus? And they said, it was like putting a filter in her blood, and we took the lupus out. Well, you can see why I said I'm in a science fiction movie. I mean, let me say that having this experience doesn't make your life easy. At first I was writing the book, and I said, oh my God, I can't tell this story while I'm writing the book. I'll never get the book published. I don't even want to tell David. I mean, here I'm David's biographer, and I'm having this story happening in my life. Second of all, no matter what the evidence is, there's part of you that thinks there's something wrong, or what if there's something negative? And how do I know? You're in a ballpark where you have absolutely no experience, and you're trying to figure it out. There's really no one to ask, no one that you can count on. And so the voice said, just keep asking us questions and it'll all come to pass. Now, the voice identified itself, and they said they were the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim on the internet, and I found words like the God of the Old Testament, the creator God of this realm, the group that was talking to Joseph Smith when he started the Mormon Church, and I asked them, were you the same Elohim? And they said, they were part of the same. And I said, why me? And they said, you're like a cosmic midwife. You know how to bring these things out. You've had training in past lives, and you don't have ego about this. So I'm still skeptical. And not only that, I have no idea. This was in 2002, 2003. I have no idea how to put this out into the world. It was a bit scary even talking about it, you know, telling somebody, you know, I got this voice talking to me, and they say they were God in the Old Testament. And also saying that my sister had a healing from something that was supposed to be critical, I said to myself, if I tell people this, they're going to expect too much of me. I don't know how to fix everybody. And so I just kept working on the book. We had hundreds and hundreds of conversations. Now, let me just say, the woman who was channeling, we were together for 6 months, and she left me. And I thought that was the end of it. And then I saw my old friend, and, you know, after I went through a period of warning, and in the middle of the night she woke me up and said, get the tape recorder out, and it started coming through her. And I didn't believe it was them, okay? I said, she's got to be jealous of the other woman. She's got to be making this up. This can't be happening. And so for the next 2 months, she was answering questions also, and I became convinced it was the same source. I won't say that I was convinced that it was the creator God of the realm at that point, but I was convinced that it was the same source that was speaking through the other woman. So this is going on now. We're going into, you know, I started writing the book in the year 2000. I started having these communications in the year 2002, and this is going on for, you know, 8 years. Well, my challenge was, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to put this into the world without, you know, being controversial? I'm going to be controversial anyway, but, you know, like not standing on a corner and say, I'm talking to God and here's what he says, you know. That didn't appeal to me, and I didn't know how it would work with a response of that. So I asked them, and they said, well, just talk to one person at a time, and it'll get its own resonance. So what was happening was I was traveling, doing talks on my book in California. It's a little small holistic events, holistic expos. And I started intermingling, talking about, this was after the book came out, what was happening to me personally as well as the book, because they actually go hand in hand, and they both reach the same ends. And whenever I would talk, this amazing energy would come into the room. And in the channelings, they said that was them. They were beaming into the room. So let me give you a visual here, or a way maybe to tap into this through your imagination, so that you can visualize it, okay? Here we are in the physical plane, and each of us has a hologram. We could call it a hologram attached to us that we can't see. But it's where your soul is, it's where the matrix is, it's where people come together and create oneness. We all exist in that hologram simultaneously with existing in our physical body. Now, our physical body is finite, but our hologram isn't. And our hologram is not limited. It can go right back to source, original creation, and we can't see any of that, but it can do that. And in those higher realms of our hologram, there exists two group souls, one that's speaking through David Wilcock and one that's speaking to me through these personal relationships. And these group souls can connect with us in our larger hologram. But first, to connect with you, you need to have a reference point and be opened up. And otherwise, it's hard to get out of your mind. It's just like when you're watching a movie or you're watching Wayne Dyer. You're putting your attention to them, and you move into the consciousness that they're projecting. So I found out that these group souls, I had become so familiar with them that they were in my hologram. And that when I would talk, people could connect with them through my hologram, through the energy that would come in the room. And there would be this huge, huge transformation for people. So then I asked them in a channeling, I said, hey, if I do a telephone conference call, could you work with the people on the call? And they said they could. Now, this is different than being in physical proximity. This means that you yourself, where you are right now, have to be able to make a connection. So we did an experiment, and I invited some of the people that were coming to my lectures to come on a conference call. And I didn't even think of channeling on the call. What we did was I read some of the channelings. I read some of the book. I read some of the another book that I was working on called Questions and Answers with the Elohim. And I could feel the energy change. And other people could feel it too. Some of you are noticing right now, while I talk about them, some of you might be feeling it. Now, if you're not feeling it, don't feel bad about yourself, because some people have to go through some personal releasing before they can expand their hologram to the point where they can become sensitive to these energies. But if you're wondering what it is, then my take on it is that there's these two group souls that we have thought of as God throughout history. One of them is the Ra group, who was talking through Edgar Cayce and speaking through David Wilcock. It's made up of millions or billions of graduates of this realm. And by this realm means not just this planet, other planets. They spent millions of years of evolution going through multiple lifetimes and physical embodiments, and they graduated, and they realized that there was a lot of pain and suffering, so part of the way the universe works is the graduates now help those that are still stuck here. And they have been one of those sources throughout our history that, if I have it right, we have taken to be God. And sometimes that was their best model of presenting themselves, because all the stuff I'm telling you is far too sophisticated for thousands of years ago. And the other group soul, the Elohim, is made up of the same material as the Ra group, same energies, except by and large, the ones we're talking to, that we're channeling and communicating with, are outside of this dimension and never have bodies. So they hold the energy from outside of time, and they are the energy that moves through this realm. They can project energy into this realm. Both groups can, and both of their energies feel different. And if you stay on these calls long enough, you will learn to identify how their energies feel. Because through the course of these calls, we have had many, 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 many conversations. We have many audio tapes of these things. We have things that, you know, see, the bottom line is somebody's talking to me. They are talking. I couldn't make this up. I have two people, two women, both channeling and both, you know, having a voice that says, you know, essentially they're the same. And we've had both groups, the Ra group and the Elohim group, speak to me through both of them. And many, many people, including besides myself, have felt the energy of how it feels when they project into this space. And it's kind of like the Ra group. The energy is more like inside you and close in. And the Elohim group is distant. And both groups can work together. But you know what? They need anchors in the physical realm who can tune into their frequencies. Because if there's no one down here that's doing that, they can't connect. So, and they have a hard time, if they try to connect, making themselves real. I mean, put yourself in my position of going to bed at night and you have your wife or your girlfriend and she says, oh, I have this strange sensation over the top of my head. There's a voice, something that wants to speak to you. Now, you know what? Most people would run the other direction, and believe me, it crossed my mind to say, who is this woman that I'm with? And I'm running the other direction. And then I started asking questions, and they were very intelligent, and they were definitely didn't seem like it was her. It didn't seem like even something she could make up. But that's when I said, maybe she's schizophrenic, and when they predicted the newspaper headline. Well, since these calls have been taking place, many people that have been on the calls have learned to identify these frequencies, these energies. And many people on the calls, not many, many, but a reasonable number, have had miracles, have had healings. Some people have had personal growth. They've moved through obstacles that they've never been able to move through their entire life. And I did it not because I'm giving you a technique or a philosophy or something to do. It's not because of anything I'm doing. I'm just telling you the story. It's because I've learned that when I talk about them, they show up. They want to connect. They want to. But most people don't have the ability to tune into their frequency. So, for example, if you're praying, but you're not tuning into their frequency, you may not get a response. Now, you could be praying. It doesn't matter that you know that they're the Elohim and Ra and that God is a group soul. That doesn't matter. They don't care about that. It's a frequency. By the time it hits this realm, I don't even know if that's the right word, but they use that word. It's a way of feeling expanded into your matrix. And there's a way of identifying how they feel in your matrix. And when you come in these calls over and over again, like, you may be thinking, is that it? Maybe Wynn is charismatic. Maybe it's him. Remember I talked about doubt, and I said, doubt is healthy, and please don't believe anything I say. Keep your doubt, active, because my job is not to create blind believers. It's create people who have an experience of this so they can validate it for themselves. Now, doesn't mean you're guaranteed to have an experience. It has to be in part of your life path destiny to have that. And if you're intent if you listen to these calls enough, and you listen to all the people, you're gonna, you know, your intent is gonna get higher to say, I want to experience that. I want to know that feel. And your high intent will create the circumstances for you to have an experience. And so just stay neutral. Don't believe. Don't disbelieve. Read all the materials. And it's all part of getting your doubt meter down. If your doubt meter is up at 90%, that's where you're going to be saying, show me, and you're going to expect somebody to sit down in your living room and have a chat and say, see, I'm here. That's not the way those guys work, okay? Far more subtle. They're always here. They're always accessible. All you need to do is learn to feel their frequency, like a radio. You can be looking for something on a radio, and you could look for it day in and day out and never find it. And if somebody said it was 90.7, you go right to it and it was there. So let me say that in this call, we are tuned in to their frequency. And you have the opportunity to tune in and learn to bring it as part of your normal identity. Now, I'll give you an example. One of the ways to know there's a frequency on this call and that you're feeling it is when I stop talking, the energy stays. That means that you have opened up in this moment to the frequency. You're not being entertained by me. The frequency is in between my words, and I'm just here distracting your mind so that their frequency can come through. So just take a moment and you'll see what I mean. You might shut your eyes, and if you're more sensitive, you might notice light around your third eye. You might notice a feeling above your, what's called your crown chakra, at the top of your head. And if you're feeling that, and if you're not, don't feel bad, but if you are feeling it, you're making a connection. And keep coming back and learn how to hold that connection into your regular life. And you know what? There's a couple of great advantages of holding it, learning how to hold that connection. One of the advantages is that no matter what happens in the world, you can refer back to that. And our world is breaking down. And there are forces that want to create fear. And when you get that reference point, you can withstand a lot of that. Because you know what? When you die, guess what? You're back in your matrix. And if you've established the energy connection with these high places while you're in the physical, those connections are going to last when you die. So the fear of death goes way down. And if the fear of death goes way down and you realize this is just one life in thousands, then you can operate a lot more functionally in this life, because I think it's the fear of death that holds people, you know, keeps people really contracted. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Now, Terry is one of those people who was channeling, okay? And she said, wait, don't make me channel tonight. I've been channeling all last week. We did a workshop on Saturday, she channeled. We did a grid healing on Sunday, she channeled. And, you know, what's happening is we're working with these group energies, and the things we're doing are hard to believe. The whole thing is hard to believe, so I don't want to tell you. Just that's why I recommend paying attention. I really recommend reading the book. And so she said, I'm not going to channel. I said, well, listen, you know, sometimes it's nice just to say hello at the end, and it helps them take the energy that people are feeling and hear the voice that it's attached to. So do you feel open to doing that? I told her I wasn't going to force her. I can't force her anyway, but, you know, I said if she felt the energy, we could do it.
Yes. You know, one of the things is sometimes as Wynn talks, then he brings through the frequencies and he holds frequencies, so I am then able to bring them through easier. So it may, some people wonder, how come they just don't come on and channel or something, but they really need the connection with Wynn to help ground these frequencies.
Well, I think what I'm doing is while I talk, I'm making a connection with everyone who's listening. So what happens is, in that connection, when the doubt level is 90%, it's very hard to channel because we all feel each other's energies. And then the channeling becomes like, well, prove yourself, prove it. And proving it is not the right atmosphere to successfully bring them through. When we are feeling a loving energy inside of ourselves, and we make a group loving energy, it's like we become a huge antenna, so to speak. And then it's easy for them to come into our space. And then it's easy for you to bring them through. That's how it works. It's not me. It's us. I'm just kind of provoking all you guys into an energy of oneness. And, you know, we're supposed to be off of VBS in, what time is it? 6:48. And everyone's going to say, Wynn, how come you talk so long? You know, one of the reasons I talk so long today is because I'm inviting a lot of new people. I sent an email out to all the people that are on our date and message a day list. And I wanted to, if they happen to be listening, I wanted to make sure I did a good introduction for them. And if I didn't do that, the channeling would just be a weird phenomena, and I don't think the energy would be right. So I had to approach it that way. And we have only a minute, and we can have a final comment. I promise you guys who are tuning in for the first time, we'll do longer channelings in the future. And come back. We do this every Monday. And should I call on the light, Terry, and just have a quick hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. If you're on BBS, we might even lose you because if we go longer than the time, Seth is going to cut us out, but he'll probably give us an extra minute or two. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through our bodies to the center of the earth. And right now, those of us who are free-willing, choosing to do so, we create, invoke a group energy of all of us on this line, and that the parts of us that are in other realms might come together for this brief moment, interweave, and create a oneness. And we invite those group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, to join our energy field. And we'll take a moment, and we only have a moment, and I'm sorry, guys, I'm not giving you more time, but we laid a track for some new people tonight, so we'll take a moment and let them greet us.
Yes, we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is good that this channeling will be short, because the channeling instrument has gotten somewhat jammed up. It's as if it's a switchboard on a telephone and all circuits are busy. So it has been hard to make the connection. In fact, in grid healing yesterday, all of the circuits to connect with Ra'an, whom we are, were busy, as we had been channeling so much on Saturday and connecting with areas and individuals that were taking the attention of the higher forces and of Terry, and energies became blocking of the channels in. Therefore, on the grid healing on Sunday, the only frequencies available were the frequencies of the high Elohim. And so it was a very interesting grid healing on Sunday with the high Elohim, who have a totally different sense of time than some of the lower agencies. Anyway, each of you out there, we greet you for this brief minute, and we look forward to connecting with you in another space time. Adonai.
Thank you. So, we're going to close this show tonight. Now, those of us that are on the telephone, we're going to stay on, and any of you listening can email me, and I'll give you the phone line, direct phone line contact. But we put things in the light, and we ask for help, and we do kind of like, I don't like to use the word prayer, because I don't like the idea of religion, even though this is connected to that, but say guided intentions. So you feel free to join us next week and be part of that. And you can also read conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, which tells the story of this contact. I put that up in 2003. And if you purchase my book by Wednesday, you can be invited to an evening where we have a whole hour of channeling and people asking questions with Matthew. So I wish you good night. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Don. And we'll close off with BBS. And we'll just continue and let me unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everybody's unmuted, and anyone wants to put something in the light? We're ready.
Yes, this is Wayne. I'd like to send light and love to all those online with us tonight and those on BBS who will listen. I'd like to send light and love to the Hunan Ku, to our son, Mother Earth, and all the kingdoms of Mother Earth. I'd like to send light and love and healing to Alma Malone, to Wayne Davis, to Raymond Chavis, Kelly Hughes, Nancy Summers, Hope Hagler, Martha Derrick, Nell Eric, Ralph Krim, Charlie Jameson, Tommy Falco, and Nancy Falco. I'd like to send light and love and healing to all the abused and abandoned children throughout the world. And I'd like to send light and love and gratitude to the Ra, the Elohim, the Quo, and all the interdimensional service to others who are assisting us. I'd like to add my energy and amplify all the requests online tonight. Thank you.
This is Jackie, and I would like to send love, light, and healing energies to Arthur Watson and his family, Gary, Betty, and Janice. I would like to send blessings, healing, and well.